I want to begin this morning with a question that I'd like you to ask yourself, and not answer out loud, but just in your own minds and hearts. What brings you joy? What brings you joy? Maybe for some of you it's family, or it's friends, or certain activities that you enjoy doing. Maybe your faith brings you joy. But as you're thinking about that question and answering it for yourself, I would imagine that maybe some of you find yourself this morning thinking in the area of joy that it's been pretty elusive these past few days or weeks, that it's been a struggle at times to find joy, especially in light of your current circumstances or situation. And you would even say that this Christmas season has brought to light some of the things that are happening in your life that are kind of stealing your joy a little bit. And so you're struggling with this concept of joy. And as we continue our Christmas sermon series called Songs of the Savior, we're going to continue with the idea of joy to the world with Mary and Elizabeth. And our focus this morning is going to center around the word joy. So I invite you to take your Bibles with me and turn to Luke chapter 1. That is where we will be the entire time, but we're going to make our way to different parts of Luke chapter 1. So I highly encourage you to grab your copy of God's Word or from the pew rack in front of you. Turn to Luke chapter 1 as we focus on the word joy. And as you're finding your way to Luke chapter 1 and perhaps getting out your sermon guide, I want to start as we unpack the idea of joy. I want to start with a biblical definition of joy. And here's just two words that really kind of sum it up as it is stated in the Bible. Joy means delight and gladness. Delight and gladness, those are just kind of the basic words associated with biblical joy. Something that we delight in, or something that we find gladness in. But in addition to these two words, I also want to add to that definition and give it a little bit more kind of depth to it. And here's another. I found this week, and I love this definition of biblical joy. Here it is. It's rejoicing in grace received. That's what biblical joy is. And the reason why I love that definition is because that second one is not based on circumstances. You can be having a bad day and still rejoice in grace received. You can still have biblical joy according to the scriptures. And I also want to just kind of give you, just a few more comments about biblical joy before we jump into our text this morning, Luke chapter 1. I want to remind us that biblical joy is deeper than happiness. Happiness is pretty superficial. And these are not going to be on the screen, so if you're like wondering if the slide guy got it right, he did. Okay, so I'm just saying them. But biblical joy is deeper than happiness. Here's another thing. Biblical joy is a choice. Just like some of you are choosing right now to frown at me. Not on purpose, but you're choosing it. Smile, it's a joy sermon. Biblical joy is a choice. Biblical joy is not something that we can manufacture, but it is something that we can act upon. That's the choice. I can't and won't always be happy, but I can choose joy no matter what. I can, according to what the Bible says about joy. I love this. If we don't rejoice today, we will not rejoice at all. If we wait until conditions are perfect, we'll be waiting until the day we die. If we're going to rejoice and be joyful, we must choose it today, and we can choose it. Here's another thing about biblical joy. Biblical joy is based on certainties, not circumstances. It has been said that happiness is based on happenings. Meaning, if things happen to go well, you're happy. But if something goes bad, then your happiness is likely gone. Not so with joy. Joy is based on certainties that we're going to talk about this morning. And one final thing about biblical joy, and I love this as well. Biblical joy can be experienced even when things are unclear. Thank you, Mary and Elizabeth. Biblical joy can be experienced even when things are unclear. Even as you walked in this morning, and it's no coincidence, it's not luck at all that you're here in this service hearing about joy. You brought in some things that are in your life that you're unclear about, and you can still have joy. I have things in my life, we have things in our life that are pretty unclear right now. Things that we would like to see move a little bit more, but they're not, but we can still have joy. And we want to look at these things this morning. In Luke chapter 1, the stories of Mary and Elizabeth, in these stories, we see glimpses into the joy that they embraced, they expressed, and they experienced, and how this joy, capital T-H-I-S, this joy changed their life, changed their lives, changed the world, can change you and I, and can bring us joy even today, 2,000 plus years later. And as we unpack this word joy, it is the foundation of the Christmas season. And as we, again, unpack this, we're going to look at three groups of two as it relates to joy. First, we're going to look at and encounter two miracles of joy. Two miracles of joy that we see in this text. And the first miracle of joy is John the Baptist. He is in this text. So I invite you to draw your attention with me to verses 5 through 7 of Luke chapter 1 as we begin to see how John is a miracle of joy. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Stop there for a moment. We realize very quickly that Elizabeth and Zechariah, they came from really good families. And they were actually godly people. And you're like, good for them. They must have just been filled with joy. I think they were, but let's read the next verse. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Again, they're both from good Jewish families. They're doing the right things, but there is most likely a joy vacuum in their lives, especially for Elizabeth in the area of family because they don't have any children. And you may say, well, did that really make a difference in that first century culture, in the Jewish culture? It absolutely did. Elizabeth has no kids. She is infertile, and now she is old. And you say, well, how old? Well, most scholars believe she's around 60. I know that's not old for us. Those of you that are deeply offended, it's okay. Back then, 60 was old. The King James says that they were well stricken in years. Do not try that with an older person. Hi, good morning. You look like you're well stricken in years. It's not going to bring you joy or them. So she's 60 years old. Here's the point. Here's the bottom line. She is beyond childbirth, humanly speaking. It's not going to happen. And it was a source of constant embarrassment for her. It was a sign of divine disfavor for some people. Some people thought God was mad at her. And also it brought bitter sorrow to a Jewish woman who was married, who was unable to bear children. So this is the situation we find her in. There's not a lot of joy as it relates to family. She's married to a priest named Zechariah who served burning incense in the temple twice a year for 1 week. And in verse 11, it describes one such time when he is serving. Look at verse 11. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear your son, and you are to call him John. Wow. I wasn't expecting that. That's not what I thought I was going to hear when I was serving. So we have John the Baptist again as a miracle of joy. Here's why. There's a couple things about John the Baptist that remind us that he's a miracle of joy. First of all, because he is promised by an angel to an infertile woman, 60 plus years old, who humanly speaking is not able to have a child. And God says through the angel, it's going to happen. And this is going to bring joy. John is a miracle of joy. You talk about walking around with your parents and people thinking that's your grandma. Right? Come on now. I mean, once John's born and she's kind of wheeling him through the village, look at Grandma walking him. No. He's a miracle of joy. Here's another reminder that John is a miracle of joy that would start right from his birth. And it's because of his name. John's name means this, graced by God. They were supposed to name him Zechariah. That's what you do. Or somebody from the family, and you can read on your own that when John's born, they're like, give him a name, and they're like, well, we should give him Zechariah, a name from the family, and Elizabeth says, no, let's name him John, and Zechariah can't talk, and everybody's like, that's not a good idea, he doesn't want that, and then all of a sudden he can talk, and he says, oh yeah, we're going to call him John, because we have been what? grace by God, the miracle of joy in John the Baptist. Good days for Elizabeth. The second miracle of joy is Jesus. Is Jesus. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. Gabriel appears to Mary and says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Then drop your eyes down to verse 34. And Mary says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." I would say to you that Jesus' announced arrival was not initially embraced with joy by Mary because she's just kind of confused. I don't think when she says, "How will this be?" that she's questioning that it will happen. She's just questioning, "How is this going to happen? Because Mr. Gabriel, I know you're an angel and everything, but I'm a virgin. And this has never happened before. And how will this be? How will this bring joy?" Well, it's going to bring joy because Jesus Christ is the miracle of joy because of the virgin birth. The miracle of the virgin birth reminds us of that joy. And you say, what is the virgin birth? Well, simply stated, it is a divine act of God involving the power of the Holy Spirit that would bring joy to Mary and Joseph's life. Why is the virgin birth so important? Why is it so connected to joy? Well, I found this interesting, this answer to the question, why is the virgin birth so important? And it's based on a story from the late talk show host Larry King. Okay, it's not a joke. I don't know why you thought it was a joke. Here it is. Okay. Well, I didn't set that up right, did I? So the late talk show host Larry King was once asked, if he had the choice to interview one person in all of history, who would it be? And he interviewed a lot of people. He said that he would like to interview Jesus Christ and that he would ask Jesus Christ one question. Are you indeed virgin born? And Larry King, again, not a biblical scholar, got it. He got the importance. He realized the importance of the virgin birth. He understood that the teaching of the virgin birth is pivotal. If Jesus was not supernaturally conceived in the womb of Mary, then he was not God. And if he was not God, then his death on the cross really meant nothing at all. And it's not really joy to the world. Without the virgin birth, our sins cannot be forgiven because Jesus wouldn't be God, and Jesus is God. Even worse, if the virgin birth was not truthful, did not happen, then Jesus Christ was a fraud. He was giving false hope by claiming to be God in human form and claiming to be able to die for our sins and give us a relationship with the Father. If the virgin birth did not happen, then Jesus was a liar and a fraud, and you've been deceived, and I've been deceived. And by the way, when I'm deceived or somebody lies to me, there's no joy. Joy is gone. So the virgin birth is so important. The virgin birth guarantees the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. James Montgomery Boyce said this, "Jesus endured a human birth to give us a new spiritual birth. He had an earthly mother so that we might have a heavenly father. He left his glory to give us glory." All those things add up to the fact that the miracle of Jesus Christ brings us joy. And it's only possible through the virgin birth. We'd say it over and over again, because of the virgin birth, Jesus is God. I want to just leave a couple of short statements with you, to remind you, why is Jesus Christ the miracle of joy? Because for Mary, this was going to be a struggle, right? At the beginning, probably even throughout the pregnancy, this is a struggle for her. Because the whole virgin birthing, the concept of that and how that worked. Jesus is a miracle of joy because the virgin birth means this for you and I. Two things. There's more, but I'm just going to give you two. Here are two statements of joy because of Jesus. The virgin birth and Jesus Christ means God with us. No virgin birth, you don't have Emmanuel. I love singing about Emmanuel, talking about Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that a cool name for Jesus? God with us. That is not possible. It brings no joy without the virgin birth. Not only God with us, but the virgin birth guarantees this, grace for us. Grace for us. So I find great joy in the miracle of Jesus Christ because he's not only God with us, but he's grace for us, grace for me. And I want you to know, no matter what you're facing in your life right now or what you might be facing in the near future, when you walk out these doors, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that will never change. That it's God with us and grace for you. That will never change. Because Jesus Christ is a miracle of joy, is he not? I mean, I know the video has some, license there on how they had their conversation, but some of that, it was some reality there, right, with Mary and Elizabeth, two very pregnant ladies in two different seasons of life, but both very joyful, and one is like, this is like humanly possible, and the other going, oh, you think yours wasn't humanly possible? Mary's like, I kind of won you up, John, this one. And coming together, both of them, and God allowing them both to give birth to miracles of joy. John the Baptist and Jesus. But there's more. There's more joy here. We have two miracles of joy, but then we have two women of joy. Two women of joy. First of all, there's Elizabeth. Elizabeth, look at verses 23 to 25. When his time, Zechariah's time of service, was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said, and these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Elizabeth, I am absolutely 100% confident, was a woman of joy. A woman of a lot of questions. A woman of a little explaining to do 5 months in. As she celebrates her 61st birthday. But she is a woman of joy. Notice, the Lord has taken away my disgrace from among the people. I wrote this in my notes. For each one of us, grace removes the disgrace. All of us are sinners, wretched sinners in need of God's grace. And through Jesus Christ, grace removes the disgrace. The disgrace for her was the fact that she couldn't bear children. And that she was reminded of that every day in that culture. But all because of God, he removes the disgrace. And then look at verse 57. Elizabeth, a woman of joy, it says, and when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy or grace, and they shared her joy. The baby's birth and Elizabeth's faith are a testimony to the neighbors and family members. Again, she was a woman of joy as she was carrying John the Baptist, and now she gives birth to John the Baptist, and she celebrates this with her neighbors, and they share in her what? Her joy. She is just celebrating. The baby is born. The baby is healthy. John the Baptist is here. We're celebrating. She is a woman of great exuberant joy because of what God has done in her life. Again, I'm reading into this a little bit, but I like to have some humanity in the text that after she gives birth to John the Baptist and has a time of recovery and now she's out in public, she is skipping along like any, not like any other 61-year-old or whatever. And again, carrying the baby. And if there was any kind of Mufasa moment in the scriptures, it would be Elizabeth. come on. The Lord has shown me great mercy and taken away my disgrace. I am full of joy. The second woman of joy is certainly Mary. Look at verse 44. This is Elizabeth speaking after. Here's the context. I want you to catch it. Verse 44, Elizabeth is speaking after the pregnant Mary comes to visit her. So this is Elizabeth speaking in verse 44. It says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So this was prior to John the Baptist being born. And then blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And in particular, verses 46 through 49, we have the Magnificat, which is Mary magnifying the Lord. My soul magnifies. But I want you to notice this. Mary's song of praise is not about Mary. It's about God. Her joy is not about what she's done. It's about what God has done. I hope you notice that. Mary, as a matter of fact, highlights her need for God. She says, I rejoice in God, my Savior. She also praises God for what he has done for her and who he is, the character of God. She's not blessed because of anything she has done, but because of what God has done for her. That's what brings her joy. She is blessed because God has done something great for her. She was blessed as a channel of God's purpose in this story. And as you put all these things together, you realize that Mary is a truly joyful woman, but it's based on God. And this was just a great reminder for me that I can't find, or I shouldn't try to find my joy in my circumstances, because they will change. My feelings will often go up and down. But if I find my joy in God and who he is and what he's done for me, I can truly be joyful on a daily basis, and so can you. It's not that we don't have moments of discouragement or we're struggling. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying you can find joy, you can choose joy as you rest in who God is. That's what Mary did. She didn't say, I'm joyful because look at me. I'm the only virgin birth, gave birth to the Son of God on the planet. Look at me. She didn't find joy in herself. She found joy in God. As it relates to Mary and Elizabeth being women of joy, I want to make this statement to you. Mary and Elizabeth were women of joy because they believed and received God's promise of grace to them. They believed it and they received it. That's where the joy came from. As you think about how what God has promised you, what God has given to you, when you believe it and you receive it, that's where the joy comes from. And this is not a prosperity gospel thing I'm saying here. I'm talking about things that God says are guaranteed in the scriptures about his character, about his promises to you and me. He guarantees those to us. His saving grace that he has guaranteed to you through Jesus Christ. If you've embraced that and received it, you can be joyful. It'll never go away. Never has to go away. We kind of waffle on it a little bit, but it never goes away. These women were women of joy. This was not in my notes. I'm just going to say it, and often I get in a little trouble when I go off the rails. But I just want to remind us as people of God, people of Jesus this time of year, could we be a little bit more joyful? You know, when you're 37th in line, okay? And you're like, there's no other line. I mean, I understand there's frustration there, but let's not make a scene. Okay? If you've received the grace, extend it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's joy to the world for us, folks, right? As Christians, this is one of the greatest seasons for churches to celebrate Jesus Christ, the birth of our Savior. And we go out into the public and we're like, Scrooge, don't do that. Joy. They were women of joy. Let's be people of joy. Some people, you know, accuse me of having too much caffeine. That's not really true. I don't drink any caffeine before I come to church. I don't even drink coffee. This is just natural joy. Can you have joy on a Monday morning? Only half of you are convinced. You're like, Pastor Jay, by Wednesday, I get it back. You can. And I know some of you go into some difficult situations on a Monday morning, but you know what? They cannot change who God is in your life and the grace you've received, and so you can be a person of joy tomorrow. Like Mary and Elizabeth. So we have two miracles of joy, and we have two women of joy. The last thing is two messages of joy. Two messages of joy. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 1. This is the angel. By the angel makes a lot of appearances. And you can understand why, because remember, we're telling a 60-year-old woman she's going to have a baby, and we're telling a teenager she's going to be involved in a virgin birth. Probably shouldn't happen just through like an email. You know, you're going to need an angel here. So the angel shows up again, and he's speaking to Zechariah about John. Because Zechariah is going to need some help too, right? About his wife and the whole situation. They just went on Social Security. And by the way, you're going to need to keep your job. You have another mouth to feed. Just saying. Oh, here. Angel speaking to Zechariah, verse 14. He says to Zechariah, the angel does, He, John the Baptist, will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Stop for a moment, sanctity of life. Filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born? I didn't even know. I didn't think he became a person until he was born. Wrong. Just so you know. Sanctity of life. And he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. So here's the message of joy that will come through John the Baptist. Many, it says, many will rejoice because of his birth. Many will rejoice because of the birth of John the Baptist. Why? Because of his message of joy. He will bring back many back to God, many Jews back to God. How will he do this? Message of joy. You're like, what is the message of joy? Well, John's message was to prepare the way for the Messiah. That was his message of joy. When he was beginning his ministry, he would say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was a joyful statement because he's saying the Messiah is coming. John also said this, get ready to receive the Messiah. He said, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is greater than me, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's a message of joy. But my favorite message of joy from John the Baptist as he grew and began his ministry was this, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's a message of joy, right, folks? And it started with John the Baptist being born. And that would be the message. The angel said to Gabriel, he'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. They didn't rejoice because of his dress code, the old camel hair and eating the honey and locust. I mean, he was kind of a strange duck. But the message would bring joy to so many people because he would say, the Messiah is coming, I'm preparing the way. And then when he saw the Messiah, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. What greater joy than to have our sins forgiven? That was the first message of joy we see. But then look at verse 44 as we unpack the second message of joy. This is Elizabeth talking to Mary when they met. It says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby, John the Baptist, in my womb leaped for joy. Now, I do understand that during pregnancy that the baby can move. And there can even be, you know, leaping, so to speak. I don't know. But I know that there can be movement. But why did John the Baptist leap for joy in Mary's womb? Well, here's the answer with a little bit of liberty and license here. I know they couldn't communicate, but here's what's happening. John the Baptist is kind of saying to Elizabeth, hey, Mom, yeah, the baby over there, not just any baby. He's the one. He's the one. And I just did a cartwheel. Because I only do them for the one. And that's probably not going to happen again. But the first time I met him, I just wanted to show off a little bit. He's leaping for joy. Why? Because the baby inside, he's not just my cousin. He's God. Come to give us life. And what would be the message of joy from Jesus Christ? Look at verse 32. It says, he, Jesus, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. In this particular, or these two verses, the angel Gabriel gives five predictions about Jesus Christ. And if you sum them all up, it's a message of joy. And here's the summary of those five predictions. Jesus is God, the everlasting King of Kings, and the Savior of the world. Joy to the world. That is true. That was the message. Mary, Jesus Christ is not only a miracle of joy, but he's going to bring a message of joy because he is God, the everlasting King of Kings, and the Savior of the world. And by the way, because of this, this changes what? Everything. And it can also change anyone. It changes everything and can change anyone. That's a message of joy because happiness doesn't always work for everybody because we're so finicky about it. But this message of joy can change anyone and can change anything because of Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate message of joy this time of year. Is it not? Jesus is God, the everlasting King, and the Savior. That's the message of joy. So in Luke chapter 1 with Mary and Elizabeth, I hope that you have bought into a little bit of this joy message. I've used the word about 45 times. We saw two miracles of joy. two women of joy and two messages of joy. And so you're not confused by the numerical scheme that we're following. I'm going to give you two takeaways of joy. Number one, embrace the joy. Embrace the joy. I'm talking about the joy of the gospel. And I would ask you to listen carefully to this part. And if you're watching on live stream, give careful attention to this as well. Genuine, lasting joy is not found in success, money, relationships, social media likes, or whether we're having a good day or a bad day. Genuine joy is not found in those things. Because we've tried, all throughout humanity we've tried. We've tried to accumulate. We've tried to get smarter. We've tried to be healthier, thinking that if we could do all those things and get them to a certain level, we will find joy. And we're bitterly disappointed. None of those things being genuine joy. Real genuine joy is a byproduct of only one thing, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can bring genuine, lasting joy. And so embrace the joy means if you have never done that, if you're searching for joy in these other areas and there's still that hole in your life, hole in your heart, almost a hole in your soul as it comes to joy, it's because you're maybe looking in the wrong place. And if you look to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and ask Him to be your Savior, you will find genuine, lasting joy that will never, ever go away and will last for eternity. So if you've never done that, that's my first takeaway. Embrace the joy this time of year. Do it for the very first time. And if you do that, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I put my faith in Him as my Savior. I want that joy. I want that relationship. If you do that, let somebody know. But I'm just saying, today would be a great day. Because maybe you came in a little bit miserable. And it's because you don't know Jesus. He wants to meet you today. Embrace the joy. Second takeaway. And this is for those of you that are still frowning. Express joy. It's not really. It's for everybody. I'm just saying. Let me give you some examples of some ways that you and I can go out of here based on Mary and Elizabeth and express joy. First of all, we should be giving consistent gratitude for the many blessings of God in our lives. Consistently thanking God for the many blessings of God in our life. Let me give you some examples of those blessings. First of all, His saving grace. If He saved you, that's something you can be thankful for on a regular basis. And be thankful He doesn't rescind it. It's not on a warranty. Or like you're on a trial basis. How about the goodness of God? You can go out into this world and have joy and express it through gratitude for the goodness of God in your life. His presence and His person. And His presence, I'm talking about being with you. Gratitude. We can be joyful. Let me remind you, we can be joyful and have gratitude even when we are uncertain about things or situations in our life are unchanged. Why? Because God doesn't change. So express joy with gratitude. We sing about it, but do we really live it out from Monday through Saturday? His mercies are new every day. Great is your faithfulness. That's a gratitude expression of joy. Also, here's another example of expressing joy. Not only gratitude, but how about attitude? Yeah, I said it. Fix your attitude. Fix my attitude. Joy is an attitude of the heart determined by confidence in your circumstances. See, some of you are so nice, you weren't going to disagree with it, but you did in your mind because that's wrong. That's not what I was going to really say. Joy is an attitude of the heart determined by confidence in God. Because all those other things may change. Do we have a joyful attitude? When you show up at work tomorrow, this should be the time of year that they're like, what is wrong with you? In a good way. And you know you're doing it right if they go, oh, you're usually a lot more, grumpy. What's going on? Well, I decided to tap into the attitude of joy in my life because of Jesus. You might not want to say that out loud because then you got to live it out. But I'm just saying, Let's have an attitude of joy. Here's another expression of joy. We share through generosity and giving. This is a time of year. And it doesn't just mean that we're giving presents or having to give money, those kind of things. When we share and we give and we're generous, that's an expression of joy. You say, how do I do that? I'm going to give you an opportunity real soon to express joy through sharing, and it won't cost you a dime. Ready? Tuesday night, 5:30, be here and go caroling with us. We don't charge. We won't charge you, even if you don't sing that well. We just put you in the back. And you say, how is that expressing joy? I guarantee if you come and do this, the people that we're caroling to, because I know who they are, they're people that are going through a lot. And they know we're coming. And when we show up, you're going to bring them joy. But what if they hear me sing a wrong note? They won't care. The joy will overwhelm them that people from the church have cared enough to go out and to sing carols to them. Am I trying to make you feel guilty? Absolutely. Shameless plug. One other way to express joy, because I need to finish this morning. We express joy by proclaiming the message of joy. This time of year, sharing with those around us who don't know Christ the message of joy, whether it's a coworker, someone at school, and our families. And you say, well, how do I do that? I'll give you another way you can start. It won't cost you a dime. On the way out today, grab some of the invite cards and invite people to our services on Christmas Eve day and evening, and they'll hear about the gospel. You're like, I'm a little nervous about proclaiming. All I'm asking you to do is proclaim the invite. We'll do the rest. But in the meantime, if you want to proclaim the gospel, that's okay too. Why would I do this? I'm fearful. Why would I do this? Because you have more joy than fear. And joy triumphs fear. I'm going to give you one last opportunity to express joy as you stand together with me and we sing Joy to the World as we end. So let's stand together.